It's the Rob Carson Show. Are you ready to be podsmacked? Now, here's Rob Carson.
168 is the episode number. Hello and welcome to the Rob Carson Show podcast. Glad to have you along. Tons of stories to get to. A entrepreneurial 11-year-old volunteers to mow the White House lawn. A school is warning kids not to chant USA, USA at sporting events. Anthony Weiner, Anthony Bourdain, Kurt Schilling, all sorts of stuff we will get to very shortly. Want to welcome the audience of the Podcast Radio Network to the show. Been doing this for about a month with the Podcast Radio Network, and this show has had a meteoric rise. It is now number two with all of the shows on the Podcast Radio Network. Make it a favorite on your browser, and again, thank you for listening. Listen to all the shows on the Podcast Radio Network and share on social media, will ya? Mine is on weeknights, 6 o'clock Eastern Standard, and, of course, 5 o'clock Central. So we're going to get to all of those stories and so much more. I want to thank Dr. Alex Nelson from Fountain of Life Chiropractic in Kansas City, fountainoflifechiro.com, 8335 North Congress Avenue. Whether you have low back pain, whether you need electrical stimulation, you just need an adjustment. Adjustments are miraculous. They do wonderful things for you. Dr. Alex Nelson can do that for you. Massage therapy as well. All chiropractic care. $30 veterans and veterans family adjustment fees. And I'm going to tell you, makes a world of difference. FountainOfLifeChiro.com. Check it out. All right. Also, Grass Monsters KC. Grass Monsters KC. American-made mowers, including the Dixie Chopper and the glorious Hustler mower made in Kansas. Silver Eagle is what I have in the garage. It has up to a 60-inch deck, 27 horsepower. Just unbelievable. Has a mulching effect, and you can even drive fairly fast. I think they did 100 acres in less than 8 hours with four Dixie Chopper Silver Eagles. Set a record for mowing. Both American-made and absolutely awesome. Absolutely awesome. GrassMonstersKC.com, 5520 Raytown Road, Raytown Mow. Okay, so we've got some great stories to start off. I want to mention this first of all. Sarah Huckabee Sanders in a press conference yesterday read a note from a kid who wanted to mow the White House lawn.
Dear Mr. President, it would be my honor to mow the White House lawn for some weekend for you. Even though I'm only 10, I'd like to show the nation what young people like me are ready for. I admire your business background and have started my own business. I've been mowing my neighbor's lawns for some time. I can bring extra fuel for the power mower and charge batteries for the weed whacker, and he'll do that with no charge.
Wow. I mean, this kid, okay, this kid reminds me of me. And this is how I was when I was a kid. I used to go into town. I would actually wheel the lawnmower into town with a can of gas. And it was a mile away in Neola, Iowa. And I did that. And in the winter, I'd take a snow shovel. And I would do people's driveways. And I'd sell all sorts of stuff. Greeting cards, house slippers, whatever. This is a great kid. It's so nice to know. I mean, this is a 10-year-old. This is a 10-year-old. Unbelievable. He was on CNN talking to Allison Camerata about mowing the lawn.
Well, I always wanted to do something big. And so I was like, why not we just start here? And this seems like it's got the perfect example.
Okay, so he wanted to start off something big. And he certainly has. This is a really cool story. This should make you feel really good on a Friday. A 10-year-old kid. By the way, it's Frank Giacchio. Lives in Northern Virginia. Wrote the letter to the president. I just think this is one of those things that happens and it's magical. Here he is talking to Alice Camerata about how much he's going to charge.
How much do you charge to mow a lawn there?
I charge $8.
For the whole lawn?
Yeah.
Okay. And how much are you going to charge for the White House?
Zero.
Now, Frank, have you thought this out? Because the president could probably pay you more than $8.
Well, my dad said, just do it for free.
His dad said, just do it for free. Dad's a smart man. You can't beat publicity like this. This kid could be a billionaire by the time he's 12 years old. Unbelievable story. All right, let's move on to some other stuff. Baseball history. Cleveland Indians, they won 22 in a row, beating the Royals last night.
Here it comes. A swing and a drive to deep right, down the line, base hit, into the corner, around third, coming home, Ramirez. Bears. It's a game winner for Jay Bruce. And history marches on.
Yeah, pretty cool. Pretty cool. Tough to win at home against Cleveland right now. The 1916 Giants actually had an unbeaten streak of 26 games, but there was a tie in the middle of the streak. So how do they call it a 26-game winning streak when there's a tie in the middle of it? It's not a 26-game winning streak if you had a tie in the middle of it because you didn't win the tie. Am I wrong here? Anyway, very cool. I'm glad for Cleveland. I really am. I think it's awesome. It's awesome. So a school in Folsom, I believe this is in Georgia, has decided to tell kids when they can chant USA, USA at sporting events. Because apparently it sends an unintended message. All right? Here's a little of the news story from CBS 13 in Folsom about kids being able to chant only at certain times.
Well, Sam and Christina, first and foremost, the district tells us there is no ban on chanting USA, but it does say there is a right time and place to do so, like following the national anthem. But some say there shouldn't be any limits on students expressing pride in their country.
By the way, this is in California.
Definitely like, why can't we chant USA?
It's a tradition at Vista del Lago High School in Folsom, chanting USA in the stands at games or rallies.
USA, that's, you know, we're all the same. We're all American. Doesn't matter, you know, what your skin tone is or where you're from.
But these chants are now causing chatter campus-wide after school staff brought up the topic to a leadership class.
To practice empathy, to practice kindness, and to practice patriotism. You can do both.
At some schools across the country, the chants appeared to be used in derogatory ways toward opponents of different ethnicities. The California...
Wait. Different ethnicities. Aren't they all Americans? Isn't America made up of different ethnicities? Right? Isn't America made up of different ethnicities? You got Hispanic kids who've come here. I know there are a lot of illegals here. But welcome to America. All right? This isn't about taunting. You come here, no matter what, brown skin, black skin, yellow skin, doesn't matter, you're an American.
Interscholastic Federation.
Sorry, American.
Which oversees high school athletics, addressed the concerns with local districts.
There's a time and a place to yell that and cheer that.
The school's principal sent out this email to families today and replayed the same message to students over the school's PA system, clarifying any confusion.
Sometimes we can communicate an unintended message.
School officials worry to some the chants could come across as intolerant and offensive, but parents we spoke with see it differently, an expression of pride and acceptance.
I want to chant USA because I want us to pull together and heal. Not because they want anybody to feel left out or not like they're a part of our country.
District officials say...
How's chanting the country's name making you feel like you're not a part of the country?
They want to make clear...
There's no ban on cheering USA.
I'm glad that they will still allow the students to cheer for our country.
A chant this senior says will continue to be about uniting, not dividing.
We're all one. We all stand as one together.
There you go. All right. So they're going to allow it only at certain times. I think kids are, this generation of kids, by and large, colorblind. Don't give a rat's behind about things. Yes, there may be a few out there. But I think this is an overreaction. It's typical people being offended for other people. People who are not a part of the afflicted group, are stepping into the place and defending those people. That's what I think this is all about. And I think it's a shame because it makes the kids feel like they've done something wrong. Hillary Clinton was talking to Rachel Maddow on MSNBC, made kind of a flub. I had heard earlier today. Remember when it was said that Sarah Palin said, I could see Canada from my house? And the media picked it up, said that she said it. Well, she didn't, actually. It was said on Saturday Night Live. And it was ascribed to her. Of course, it was done by Tina Fey. And by the way, Tina Fey did a very nice Sarah Palin impersonation. But Sarah Palin didn't say it. She didn't say it. But she was made to look like a complete idiot. Now, here is Hillary Clinton talking about North Korea and its proximity to South Korea.
We know we can't get anything done in this very threatening situation if we don't work with our allies, South Korea and Japan, and also bring China in. The president has basically insulted and attacked South Korea. South Korea is literally, you know, within miles of the border with North Korea.
Okay, what did she say? That was incorrect there. Let's hear it again.
Has basically insulted and attacked South Korea. South Korea is literally, you know, within miles of the border with North Korea.
Okay, so here's what it is, in case you didn't know. South Korea is the border with North Korea. North Korea is the border with South Korea. They are the same. It is a line. There was a line right there. There's no way to measure how thick the line is. It's just a line. There's the DMZ, demilitarized zone. So I guess you could call that the border, but it's not miles. Not miles. Okay. Listen to this. Anthony Weiner is going into the sentencing stage of his trial for sexting, sending sexually explicit messages to a minor. This guy, I mean, really, what kind of a sycophant are you that even after destroying your chances at a political career, ruining your marriage and losing your kid, he kept on doing this stuff? And it got even more depraved because he was going after a 15-year-old. Well, lawyers described his operatic self-destruction in a filing on Wednesday ahead of his sentencing. Okay. Now, apparently, they're saying, listen to this, the teenager targeted him both for personal profit and to influence the U.S. presidential election. How many 15-year-olds would have the wherewithal to say, I'm going to start sexting Anthony Weiner because I want to profit from it and I want to influence the U.S. presidential election? How's a 15-year-old going to profit? Are you going to write a book? I mean, she's 15 years old, right? Around 2009, Mr. Weiner, remember when he said, the original texting scandal, he said there was just people making fun of his name? Because my last name's Weiner, it's like a joke. And then we find out, no, he's a real perv, actually. He began exchanging texts and other messages with constituents and admirers alike, according to a memo by his defense attorneys. Some of the admirers were female, validating him not only as just a politician, but as a man. So he was getting hit on, right? All right. The memo and letters were filed in Manhattan federal court. And again, they come in anticipation of his sentencing. The charge has no mandatory minimum prison sentence, but carries up to 10 years in prison. Prosecutors have said they would ask for a sentence between 21 months and 27 months. So, Kurt Schilling was talking about Jemele Hill. She is a ESPN television personality, said that the White House is, Donald Trump's a white supremacist. The White House is filled with white supremacists, which is a lie, which is BS. And she also, and they're not even covering this in the news, she put up on her Twitter account a picture of a police badge, equivocating it with a runaway slave patrol badge. Same thing. So she called the police, essentially slave capturers. She's a radical leftist. Apparently, the Disney-owned sports network ESPN, whose ratings are plummeting, try to prevent her from co-hosting the Nightly Sports Center at 6 o'clock on Wednesday. She normally does that alongside Michael Smith, 38 years old. But Smith refused to go on the air with Hill's replacement. Then, of course, two other black journalists, Michael Eaves and L. Duncan, asked them to fill in, and they said no. So, basically, the black journalists at ESPN all said that they were not going to go on the air. They were going to quit. Apparently, they're all members of the National Association of Black Journalists. There is no National Association of White Journalists. I thought you should know. There is technically a National Association of Liberal Journalists, and that's pretty much all of them. So there you go. It's just kind of unsaid. Kind of unsaid. Kurt Schilling was on, I believe he was on with Hannity, talking about Jemele Hill. He apparently has a knowledge of her. He knows her. And here's what he had to say about Jemele Hill.
Let's be very clear about something. something. Jemele Hill has always been a racist. The things that she says, the things that she does. I don't have a problem with the fact that Jemele Hill is racist, that Bomani Jones is racist, and Colin Kaepernick knelt for a lie, and that Disney and ESPN, who they own, support liberal racism. I have a problem with them lying about it and acting as if it's not true. I can think of 100,000 people I met during my career that are smarter about sports than Jemele Hill. And here's the thing. It doesn't bother me, again, that she's on. What bothers me is that they pretend she's something she isn't.
Okay, there you go. She's a hater. Okay, she's a hater. She is a racist, race-baiting person who has a chip on her shoulder despite her success in the country. She's on national television. She is making probably in the 0.5% as far as salary is concerned. But she's got a massive chip on her shoulder, like so many in this country, for no reason. For no reason. For generations past, but not her generation. That's what it's all about. I don't want to see her get fired from ESPN. I think ESPN is going to have to make up its own mind, and then they're going to have to suffer the consequences as far as ratings, and they are. So they're going to make the decision. I choose not to. I'm not boycotting. I choose not to watch her, and I just really don't watch much ESPN because I'm not really a sports guy. Just not. Oh, Bernie Sanders. Did you know he had a radio show? Man, that has got to be compelling. I mean, Bernie Sanders, a 75-year-old academic, socialist, radio show. Well, he had a Canadian doctor on to talk about Canada's socialized medical system. Of course, Bernie Sanders earlier this week unveiled a trillion dollar plan for single payer in the country, which is not going anywhere, which is what Democrats want. But anyway, here he is getting a little surprised as far as the amount of time it takes to get treatment in Canada versus the U.S.
But if I have a patient who's got migraines and I need advice about how to manage it, they might wait several months to see a neurologist.
Wait. Several months. Can you imagine? You've got excruciating migraines and you have to wait several months to see a doctor.
For a non-urgent problem like that.
Yeah.
Or non-urgent surgeries. The classic example being a hip or a knee replacement.
Yeah, hip or knee replacement. I mean, that's a non-emergency. You will be in agonizing pain for months, possibly having to get on opioid pain meds and ultimately getting addicted. But it's a non-urgent thing.
So how long will it take me? In the
You know, it depends on where you are in the country. Sometimes it's a few months. Sometimes it's a year.
Bernie, you're going to be waiting a long time for that hip replacement, man.
In some places, at some times, it's been even longer than that, that people wait for a hip or a knee replacement.
Can you imagine? You know, my mom had her knees replaced. I think she was 83 or 84 years old. Can you imagine? A couple of years, you could be gone by then.
And I think that's totally unacceptable. I don't think that we should stand for it in our system.
But it happens because you've got a socialized medical system. It always happens that way.
I think that there's no reason why people should have to wait.
And yes, there is, because the government's in charge. Been to the driver's license agency lately versus the drive-thru at Starbucks? And the driver's license bureau doesn't even produce anything. It doesn't even produce anything. All it does is take your money. The prisoners make the license plates, and they give you a little, piece of plastic with your face on it. Oh, the world's going to end. 23rd. You got till the 23rd. What day is today? Today's the 15th. So you've got about 8 days to get your affairs in order. The rapture sat on the book of Revelations. We'll see worthy Christians lifted into heaven by Jesus. Those remaining will face the end of the world. Now, an apocalyptic theory known as Revelation 12, a sign predicts the rapture will soon be fulfilled with the appearance of a woman clothed with the sun. I don't know how that happens. With the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars on her head. One of the people who uncovered this and apparently did not realize that this phenomena was going to happen on September the 23rd. Probably should have his medicine cranked up a notch or two, but his name's William Tabley. William Tabley, here he is explaining what's going to happen on the 23rd of this month.
I am making the incredible announcement on this program that a computer program called Stellarium predicts exactly when the Bible prophecy of a woman clothed with the sun.
Okay, so a computer program called Stellarium is what it is. Okay. All right.
Will be fulfilled.
That's credible. Yeah.
Filled. Moreover.
Yes.
This prediction coincides exactly with my own previous prophecies. Yes. That Jesus will return at Armageddon in the fall of 2017.
Okay, this is his prophecy. So the computer program matches his prophecy. So now it's really credible.
I discovered this program called Stellarium somewhat by accident last week.
Yeah.
When I watched three...
You downloaded it. It was an email and it was unmarked and you downloaded it, apparently.
Videos which claimed that this great sign of a woman clothed with the sun, will be fulfilled this fall.
Okay.
When the comet Elenin passes by Earth.
Okay. Should it be melanin? Because, you know, that causes sunburn.
Of course, I realized right away that this was impossible.
You don't have enough of it.
Because this great sign occurs just before Armageddon.
Yeah.
It is a warning to the Antichrist.
Okay.
As Daniel says, the Antichrist will be troubled by tidings out of the East. And that is what this great sign refers to.
Okay, so the 23rd. Again, get your affairs in order because, once again, the world is going to end. Now, if I'm not mistaken, every prediction of the end of the world, and maybe I should look this up. I believe, I'm just saying, that every prediction of the end of the world has been wrong up to now. Am I right? Am I right? I think so, because, pretty sure that every single prediction of the end of the world hasn't happened. Yeah, okay. Well, I should know. This one could be different. I know. No idea. This guy could be incredible. And I don't have that Stellarion. Maybe I need to download it and look at it. Oh, Hillary Clinton said that on her podcast, she has a podcast, I guess, about the controversy with Kathy Griffin and the Trump head photo. And she said that at the Republican National Convention, there were people there with coffee mugs that had Donald Trump holding Hillary Clinton's severed head. Here's what she said.
One of the most interesting things, which nobody's picked up on yet in the book, you know, we recently had this, you know, big kerfuffle, this condemnation of Kathy Griffin for the picture she had of herself holding a head of Trump. They were selling T-shirts and mugs at the Republican convention with Trump holding my head. Nobody said a word. Not a word.
No, I have been listening and perusing the media today. I even Googled it today to see if these mugs existed. And it turns out they don't. They don't exist. They weren't there. There's no pictures of them. I believe the Politico had to admit that today. So apparently that there's no evidence that that happened whatsoever. But a friend of mine named Chris Platt, who's a talk show host, he said he Googled it. And when he said mugs with Donald Trump holding Hillary Clinton's head, all of a sudden, a bunch of places online featuring Hillary Clinton holding Donald Trump's severed head showed up. So you can get those online all over the place, apparently. But you cannot get the Donald Trump holding Hillary's severed head. I thought you should know. I like Anthony Bourdain. I like your show. No Reservations. You ever seen it? Yeah, it's a good show. He has a show on CNN called Parts of Unknown. I haven't watched it. I like the way the guy he narrates the program. I enjoy his style. I kind of like to hang out with him. But apparently last week he was asked if he could would cater a peace summit between the president and Kim Jong-un, and he said that he would poison the president. He would poison Donald Trump. He said he'd use hemlock. Okay. When reached by Fox News, Bourdain, apparently joking, said that he meant to say kale instead of hemlock. So there you go. CNN recently fired Kathy Griffin for the bloody head thing on CNN. Okay. Reza Aslan was fired after his anti-Trump rhetoric on Twitter was widely criticized. Okay. It's unclear if Bourdain's going to suffer any consequences from the rhetoric. Blah, blah, blah. By the way, he dined with President Obama on an episode of Parts Unknown. I thought he dined with him on the other show that he was on. Well, yeah. He was asked if he'd cook for the president, and he said absolutely effing not. been a New Yorker most of my life, I would give the same answer that I would have given 10 years ago when he was just as loathsome. He also said that he wouldn't be interested in filming an episode of North Korea because of most of the population are starving. So that's a positive. That's a positive. And he, as for thoughts on Kim Jong-un, he said he's a chubby, evil little F. So there, I can agree at least with that. At least with that. This is disturbing. And this is in the state of Texas, and I'm assuming it's happening in other states around the country. You know, I've got a son, he's 17 and a half years old. He's a good-looking young man, a smart young man. Teachers at his school, they admire him. They think he's funny. They say that he talks like an adult. And, you know, when you've got in the state of Texas for the consecutive year, the number of Texas teachers accused of sexual misconduct with students apparently has skyrocketed this year to an all-time high of 302. This reflects a 36% increase for 2016-2017. Now, I don't live in Texas, but you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. It also represents a 145% increase in teacher-student sexual misconduct since cases started being reported in 2008-2009 school year. Think about that. You're going to ruin your career. You're going to ruin your life. You're going to go to jail. And just in the last year, 36%. What the hell is going on? All right? 2008, there was total cases, 123. Then 141 the next year, 152, 156, 163, 179, 188, 2014 to 2015, 222, 2015, 2016, and now we're up to 302. 302. There's a bill that's passed in Texas called SB7. Should be SB 17, when a teacher hooked up with a 17-year-old student considered the age of consent. Well, that's allows that, I guess. If the kid was 17 and didn't work in the same school district, then the teacher couldn't get in trouble. Whatever. I think you're a sick person if you get in bed as an adult with a 17-year-old. Some blame social media as a conduit where teacher and student relationships often go haywire, spiraling off into sexting and sexual activity. Last year, USA Today graded all 50 states on how well they tracked teacher sexual misconduct. Texas got a B grade, receiving high marks for performing background checks, mandatory reporting of educator misconduct. I don't know, man. I don't know. What the hell? You know, keep it in your pants or, you know, in the woman's case. And what's the deal with women? It's a lot of it is women. In fact, those are the ones that you hear most of. Women seducing young men. I had a teacher in high school, I just don't want to give you too much information. I didn't engage in sexual activity when I was in high school. I just didn't. I think that this teacher, I might have considered it. I might have considered it, but she was a good and decent person. All right, so she wouldn't have considered it with me, much to my chagrin. Anyway, I'm not going to mention her name. Not a good idea. Professor at the University of Rhode Island calling for preschool libraries to carry more books with transgender or gender fluid protagonists. Okay, this is preschool libraries. Okay, these are kids who are before kindergarten. To allow young transgender children to feel validated. You're not transgender at four. Susan Trossel Brand teaches early childhood education at the University of Rhode Island. And she published an article in the Journal of Childhood Education. She argues that the school library should carry books on LGBTQ with main characters that are gay or L or B or T or G or Q or whatever. Provide active and enthusiastic support. By using carefully selected children's literature, teachers can make a positive difference in the lives of individuals who are transgender and those who live in diverse families. You know, bullcrap. Was Max from Where the Wild Things Are, was he straight or gay? Cat in the Hat. Was he straight or gay? Was he transgender? Who the hell cares? Bert and Ernie? Everybody thinks they're gay. No, they're just asexual characters. Grover, you know, who knows? It doesn't matter. It's a quote from this person, Susan Trossel Brand. Trans children see protagonists like themselves and feel far less alone. They feel understood, validated, and respected for who they are. They are free to be themselves. This is not a four-year-old, okay? 4-year-olds don't think like that. Sorry, don't believe it. Not going to believe it. It's ridiculous. Let kids be kids. Don't worry about sexuality. At 4 years old, their genitalia is used for peeing. That's it. That's what the genitalia of a four-year-old is to a four-year-old. A genitalia. So did you hear what Venezuela's doing as far as feeding the population? Nicolas Maduro created a thing called a rabbit plan. And encourage, listen to how incredibly third world this is. So to feed the people, the president of Venezuela decided to give people rabbits for meat. Okay? They have very low supplies of food and medicine. 75% of Venezuelans lost an average of 19 pounds. And they'll keep it off, thanks to communism, in the last year due to food shortages. So he suggested you should, it's protein, man. He says, quote, for animal protein, which is such an important issue, a rabbit plan has been approved because rabbits also breed like rabbits. He's got a great sense of humor and he's watching his people starve. Plan was designed as a fight back against the alleged economic war waged against the country by foreign governments, especially the U.S. Even though Venezuela is awash in oil and gold and other natural resources. So Maduro gave rabbits to 15 communities, a pilot program to feed the country. And unfortunately, the people decided to keep the animals as pets. A lot of the people had put little bows on their rabbits and were keeping them as pets. And apparently it was quite a setback back for the program. There is a cultural problem because we have been taught that the rabbit is very nice. But seeing it from the point of a view of the economic war, one rabbit arrives in 2 months. We have a rabbit of 2.5 kilos. So the government is now issuing a campaign so that the people understand that rabbits aren't pets, but 2.5 kilos of meat. All right. So don't think of it as a rabbit. Think about it. Here comes 2.5 kilos of meat, hopping down the bunny trail, hippity hopping, Easter's on its way. Hey, look, there's Bugs, 2.5 kilos of meat. Hey, Bugs. Yeah, what's up, Doc? The rabbit plan prompted stark condemnation from the opposition, which called the program a bad joke and says that Maduro believes the people are stupid. No, 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 he doesn't think that highly of the people. He does not think that highly of the people. Oh, this is funny. San Mateo, California. County Supervisor David Canepa said he believes banning cell phones and crosswalks will save lives. His fellow supervisors joined him in passing a resolution that asked state lawmakers to pass the requisite legislation. So for the entire country of California now, they want to ban using a smartphone when you're crossing the street. Everyone loves their smartphones, but let's be honest. They can be downright dangerous. The state rightly banned texting and driving. Now it's time to protect pedestrians. The board voted unanimously in favor of the resolution at its meeting Tuesday in Redwood City. Distracted walking incidents involving cell phones accounted for more than 11,000 injuries between 2000 and 2011. According to a 2015 report by the National Safety Council, the report, which is cited in the resolution, noted it is just as important to walk cell-free as it is to drive cell-free because pedestrians and drivers using cell phones are both impaired and too mentally distracted to fully focus on their surroundings. What about wearing, listening to your iPad? Or iPod, I should say. You know, you can't save all people from getting injured or killed. You just can't. I know that sounds very cruel and everything, but the government can't save all of us. People are going to do stupid stuff. Some people are going to lose their lives. And you know what? It sucks. It really, really sucks. I hate to say it. It really, really sucks. But this is ridiculous. It's a burden on law enforcement. And it's ridiculous. And it's also a violation to some degree of your civil liberties. It's like, you know, leave me alone. I'm just freaking talking on the phone. Whatever. I don't know. Oh boy, this is funny. You like pumpkin spice? You're going to get pumpkin spice everything real soon. If it hasn't already started. You know, Starbucks has got the pumpkin spice. I can't drink it. It's just too damn sweet. What is the deal, honestly? What is the deal with when it comes to coffee and ordering a coffee that is just other than black coffee, that they have to just kill you with sweetness. In the coffee, all right? It's unbelievable. I go to McDonald's in the morning. I get a large iced coffee. If I don't tell them iced coffee, black, no cream, no sugar, what they're going to do, they're going to put whole milk fat in it, and then they're going to load it with this syrup, and it's undrinkable. It's undrinkable. And I've tried the pumpkin spice latte from Starbucks, and it's awful. It's like drinking pumpkin pie. So now they're doing dog treats. Greenies is doing pumpkin spice flavored dog treats. You apparently can get them at PetSmart. Your dog doesn't care. My dog eats the other dog's crap. Okay, so pumpkin spice for the dogs. It doesn't have to be pumpkin spice. Your dog doesn't crave pumpkin spice. Your dog likes bacon. Okay, I mean it's kind of cute, right? Don't get me wrong. It's kind of cute, but your dog doesn't crave pumpkin spice. Number of stay-at-home dads is falling off. Apparently, this is in Great Britain. As the novelty of a new man wears off, for years, the number of stay-at-home dads been rising. As more men take on the responsibility for looking after the home and family. Now, trending appears to be reversing, with the number falling sharply to a three-year low. So the novelty of this is wearing off, okay? Professor Sir Gary Cooper, University of Manchester, said it's a sad commentary on our time. I think at one point it was quite trendy and adventurous to stay at home. Men thought, I should be a new man. I think that's ending up happening. What's ending up happening is that they feel like society doesn't reward that and doesn't give them high status. Men feel that they are only valued for their work role. No, that's not the case. Men like the work role. I like the work role. I work at home. I'd like to work more. Right now, I just do freelance. Not enough. I'd like to be able to drive to a workplace. Now, I was lucky because when my kids were little, I worked in radio, and I was home half of the day. So we would divide the time with the kids. Or I'd take, when my wife got a job, I took care of the kids substantially because I had more of the day free after my morning show, which ended at 10 o'clock. So men like to work. It's okay. Maybe women do. But it's not anything trendy. I never thought it was trendy. I want to stay home and raise the kids. I don't know. I like to do it. North Carolina, and God bless American ingenuity, has invented a $7 spray to attract Bigfoot and repel bugs. Megan Webb is the owner of a body care shop. She created Bigfoot juice. Wow, how did she come up with that? That is genius. The spray, she claims, will attract any Bigfoot within a 1.5-mile radius. As according to the Charlotte Observer, she sells the juice for $7. Creator said that her spray had been used in an alleged Bigfoot sighting this past August. Her husband was one of the guys who attracted, I guess, Bigfoot. This is according to a group called Bigfoot 911. Yeah, her husband, he's a member of the group. So Bigfoot 911 claimed to have found a large bipedal animal covered with hair in McDowell County, North Carolina. And there were six other people there. Apparently, they were in the woods spreading out glow sticks in hopes of attracting Bigfoot's attention. He described the creature as having a smooth, solid black face, shaggy hair. Bruner noted that he chased the creature and had a stare down with it before disappearing into the woods. So apparently he used the Bigfoot juice to attract Bigfoot. It actually happened, even there's no witnesses and no pictures. And it just so happens that the wife came up with the Bigfoot juice. So, you know, you don't need evidence for Bigfoot, right? You do not need evidence. You do not need evidence for Bigfoot. It just, it happens. Latest assault on free speech on university campus. Oh, by the way, Ben Shapiro spoke at Berkeley last night. There were no violence, but there was plenty of yelling, name-calling. He's a white supremacist. They're calling him a Nazi, even though he's he's Jewish. Utah Valley University has issued an advisory for professors and campus faculty reporting to students who act out of turn to the school's behavioral assessment team. This is really frightening. Calls on campus faculty report students who use inappropriate language, behave in argumentative ways, or speak loudly. They have to be dealt with. Besides listing behaviors that merit concern, and these do, stalking and bullying, got it, okay. Students who show signs of self-harm, okay, I get it. The guidance letter also instructs professors to use techniques including supportive gestures to calling emergency services depending on the situation. Now, here are some of the disruptive behaviors, according to this, that interfere with normal work and academic processes. All right? And this is a, by the way, the letter is entitled Recognizing and Responding to Students of Concern. So here are some of the things. Students who make numerous complaints. Do you suppose those might be conservative students who can't talk or who are harassed? Kids who are argumentative. Well, you're supposed to be argumentative, college. You know, you're supposed to debate. Anger toward others. You can't show anger. You've got to be a Vulcan. Behavior that challenges university expectations. That's pretty vague. Failure to be compliant with rules. Unreasonable demands. Refusing to preform. Says preform, assign tasks. I'm sure that's perform. Perform assigned tasks or answer questions. Speaking loudly or shouting. You can't shout. What are they going to do at basketball games? Using any appropriate language, vulgar or sexual. Well, F that. Throwing items not intended to strike an individual. What is that? Throwing items not intended to strike an individual? What's wrong with throwing that? It's a frisbee. Concerning email, social media, paper, or communication. This is an anonymous professor says, I'm afraid that this behavior assessment team is a bias response team in disguise. True. True. Yes, even in a deep red state at a university in one of the most conservative counties in America, faculty are afraid to speak their minds if their opinions aren't 100% politically correct. Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, speech guidelines in a country that has the First Amendment, right? Isn't that just beyond words? It's just beyond words. There have been a lot of really cool things that have happened since the hurricane. A lot of people have helped out a good deal, offering shelter, all of these things. And that's been pretty cool. A couple is actually letting 70 foster kids crash at their place. $30 million home. And you know, it's pretty cool, right? It's a Boca Raton house owned by Mark Bell. Very, very rich man. Has invited kids to come and stay at the place. Here's the problem. He has become very rich by peddling porn. He used to own Penthouse magazine, by the way, in case you didn't know. And I think they still publish. But yeah. So anyway, they've been bringing in musicians and entertainers, let all the kids play with their arcade games, swim in the pool, the whole deal. I believe this is Mark Bell talking about helping out these kids in his mansion.
I have no place to go. 12 noon yesterday, we got a phone call from the CEO of SOS Children's Village saying we need help. We've been evicted from our shelters, the two shelters we were in, and we don't know where to bring the kids, and we're not getting any help from the county. What do I do? And we, of course, said, well, why don't you bring them here? They were hungry. They were tired. They lived in a gymnasium for a week. They hadn't showered for a week. And you saw how excited they were. Today, we had manicures for the little girls. We've got Bobby the Balloon Guy coming later to entertain them. Yesterday, during dinner, we had a singer come with a plays guitar and sang songs with them.
Stripper arrived. We had to turn her away.
They don't have a mom or a dad, so they're scared. And then their house parents, even though they're there for them, they're scared too. So to have these kids feel welcomed and just feel comfortable as a mom, it just makes you feel like you're just doing something good, knowing that later on, these kids are going to look back and be like, wow, someone helped me, and they're going to want to help somebody else.
Okay. That's okay. Fine. That's great. I mean, that's where I'd want to stay. That's where I'd want to stay. All right. Before we go, couple of quick things from late night television. Jimmy Fallon reading my weird roommate tweets. Pretty funny stuff.
Now I thought I'd share some of my weird roommate stories from you guys. Here we go. This first one is from at Chris Lilly. He says, I used to live with the guy who would put ketchup straight onto our glass coffee table to dip French fries in so he could avoid cleaning a dish. This one is from at Mel Lynn. She says, my roommate used to knock on my bedroom door in the middle of the night, and when I opened it, she would say, just checking. Okay. Just terrified. Okay. This one is from Wyatt. She says, I wanted to get out of my apartment ASAP. I saw an ad that said, looking for a clean, quiet roommate. I called the number. It was my roommate.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Do you like pina coladas?
Nice.
Next one's from at Mahul's.
Oh.
She says, my roommate would number her craft singles with a Sharpie so she'd know if we took one. Oh, my God. Oh.
Wow.
I'm missing singles 7 through 10. So
yeah.
If anybody ate those. This last one is from at M.M. Margulis. This last one's from at M.M. Margulis. He says, once I couldn't figure out why all my underwear was missing, I asked my roommate. He pulled down his pants and said, looking for these?
No. By the way, I don't like to play Seth Meyers. Because I think he's not terribly funny. And I don't play Stephen Colbert because he's become a really unfunny, vitriolic politico. But I do play Jimmy Kimmel, and I do play Jimmy Fallon. Here is Jimmy Kimmel this week in unnecessary censorship.
In his first interview since leaving the administration, he is now blasting the president's decision to FBI Director James Comey.
The president was 100% right in and James Comey.
The mayor of Tampa warned people there that they were going to get in the face by Hurricane Irma.
Young man who played Trump practiced me.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yes.
Welcome home, sweet pea.
Thank you. Nice to be
here. Can't wait to taste your yummy.
Oh, boy.
Maybe your wife left you because she was looking for a beefy.
Okay.
Listen up. The Midwest fest and the Mudwest fest might be for you.
The Vikings have designated someone to blow the. Here's Vikings legend Randy Moss.
America's at her best when, against all odds, we come together and each other up.
That was the presidential hurricane PSA. Okay, it's about going to do it for the show today, guys. Do appreciate you joining me today, particularly those of you on the podcast radio network. If you would, please share on social media the Rob Carson Show. All right. It's 6 o'clock Central or Eastern Standard Time, 5 o'clock Central, Monday through Friday, right here on the podcast radio network. Of course, also available on iTunes, iHeartRadio. Tune in, Google Play, Google Plus, YouTube. Just look for Rob Carson Show. I want to thank our sponsors, Dr. Alex Nelson. He is a chiropractor in Kansas City, fountainoflifechiro.com. If you live in Kansas City, call him, okay? Just make the call. Send him an email. Say you heard it on the podcast, 816-741-4711. 816-741-4711, fountainoflifechiro.com, Grass Monsters KC as well. Great American Mowers, and they are 5520 Raytown Road, Raytown Mow. Again, grassmonsterskc.com. This show is growing. Podcast Radio Network is growing. God bless you for your support. I greatly, greatly appreciate it. I am recording this on Friday the 15th. If you are listening today, have a glorious weekend. God bless, and we'll see you real soon.
Thanks for listening to The Rob Carson Show. Friend him on Facebook at Carson Show, on Twitter at Rob Carson, and on Instagram, I think Facebook and Twitter are enough for now. We'll see you soon.